WTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on a News Roundup program here today on Crosstalk. We're thankful that you've joined us. And friends, we thank you for tuning in every day different guests, topics, and issues to keep you informed on critical matters. And today will be no exception. And we'd just like to encourage you to get behind the local radio station that provides you Crosstalk. Tell them thanks and support them financially. It's so critical that you do that very thing. They provide the airtime for Crosstalk, and we're very, very grateful. Well, certainly we need to be understanding of the times in which we live, and we need to be, I trust the stories, even as we share today, will burden us to walk with the Lord, to come before Him in confession of our personal and national sins, and to see the importance of our being salt and light in a world that desperately needs it. We're going to start with breaking news that came out this morning from the U.S. House. They passed a radical pro-abortion bill this morning that would force states to legalize the killing of unborn babies and abortions without limits up to birth nationwide. LifeNews.com has a story. The deceptively named Women's Health Protection Act passed this morning, 218 to 211. There was just one Democrat that joined Republicans in voting against it. No Republicans supported the pro-abortion legislation. Democrat leaders portrayed the bill as the codification of Roe v. Wade into federal law, but the legislation goes far beyond Roe. The legislation would erase basically all restrictions on abortion and prevent states from enacting even modest protections for unborn babies. Limits on late-term abortions and bans on sex selection abortions would be gone. U.S. Representative Chris Smith, a leading pro-life congressman from New Jersey, said, quote, "For the first time ever, by congressional statute, H.R. 3755 would legally enable the death of unborn baby girls and boys by dismemberment, decapitation, forced expulsion from the womb, deadly poisons, or other methods at any time until birth." Ladies and gentlemen, that bill now heads to the U.S. Senate. Its fate is less certain there, as there seems to be a block of those who will not allow this to come forth, and it is incumbent to contact your U.S. senators regarding this so-called Women's Health Protection Act. It is, again, passed the House of Representatives this morning, 218 to 211. Yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had her weekly press briefing, and she addressed the issue when a reporter asked her about her Catholic faith and this Women's Health Protection Act. Listen in to what happened.
Yes, Madam Speaker, just wanted to ask you about the Women's Health Care Protection Act. The Archdiocese of San Francisco and the Archbishop of San Francisco warns that the bill is nothing more than a child sacrifice, and he calls on Catholics to fast and pray to defeat this bill. You're Catholic. Your reaction?
Yeah, I'm Catholic. I come from a pro-life family. Not active in that regard. Different in their view of a woman's right to choose than I am. In my right to choose, I have 5 children in 6 years and 1 week. And I keep saying to people who say things like that, when you have 5 children in 6 days, 6 years and 1 day, we can talk about what business is of any of us to tell anyone else to do. For us, it was a complete and total blessing, which we enjoy every day of our lives. But it's none of our business how other people choose the size and timing of their families. The Archbishop of the city, that area of San Francisco, and I have a disagreement about who should decide this. I believe that God has given us a free will to honor our responsibilities.
Did you hear that? God has given us a free will to honor our responsibilities. What part of thou shalt not kill do you not understand? Why don't you understand, as it says in Proverbs, that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood? And yet, Nancy Pelosi, here touting her faith, said, "I believe that God has given us a free will to honor our responsibilities." Responsibility to kill the unborn, the innocent, the most vulnerable amongst us? The Western Journal reports that the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments December 1st concerning a Mississippi law that will ban abortion after a baby is 15 weeks old. In response, more than 500 female athletes and groups of athletes, including pro sports unions, have signed an amicus brief that urged the court to reject Mississippi's law. 26 Olympians, 73 professional athletes, according to Reuters, national anthem protester, LGBT activist Megan Rapinoe of the U.S. women's soccer team, said along with others in the statement, "Physically, we push ourselves to the absolute limit. So we have forces within this country trying to deny us control over our own bodies is infuriating and un-American and will be met with fierce resistance," she said. The briefs said that without abortion to rely upon, the physical tolls of forced pregnancy and childbirth would undermine athletes' ability to actualize their full human potential. If the Senate compelled women athletes to carry pregnancies to term and give birth, it would derail women's athletic careers, academic futures, and economic livelihoods at a large scale, the brief said. Un-American? Megan Rapinoe said. She called it un-American. Has she not read the Declaration of Independence that says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? LifeNews.com tells us that Apple evidently is outraged about Texas passing the heartbeat bill and now into law. And keep in mind that there is going to be a hearing by a judge late next week on it. But the tech giant Apple is now going to pay for their Texas employees to seek abortions outside the state. The New York Times reported on this very issue. According to the Times, and I'm seeing the story here repeated by LifeSiteNews.com, according to the Times, Apple Chief Executive Tim Cook addressed the issue at an employee-only meeting on September 17th, in which he said the corporation would assist Texas employees with obtaining abortions now illegal in the state. The meeting was broadcast to all of the big tech giants' roughly 160,000 employees worldwide. Mr. Cook said the company was looking into whether it could aid the legal fight against the new law, the Times reported, but going to pay employees to travel outside the state to kill their babies. LifeSiteNews.com indicates that more than 60 companies have signed a letter protesting Texas heartbeat, including like Yelp, Ben & Jerry's, Lyft, signed an open letter protesting Texas heartbeat law prohibiting abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected. The letter states that the heartbeat law goes against the company's values, threatening the health and economic stability of their employees and customers. Responding to an alarming trend of bans restricting abortion, the letter says that the law impairs our ability to build diverse and inclusive workforce pipelines, recruit top talent across states, and protect the well-being of all people who keep our business thriving day in and day out. The companies claim that they represent more than 129,000 workers. And how many of these companies are begging for workers? Friends, there have been more than 63 million babies that have been killed by the hands of the abortionists. And they're complaining about shortage of workers? The future of gender equality hangs in the balance, they say, putting our families, communities, businesses, and the economy at risk. More than 60 companies signing this letter protesting the heartbeat law. Well, the governor of Texas hasn't stopped there. As LifeSiteNews.com reports, on the heels of this Heartbeat Act, pro-lifers can welcome another victory in the state as Governor Greg Abbott signed into law a bill prohibiting physicians or health care providers from giving women an abortion-inducing drug after 7 weeks of pregnancy. Senate Bill 4, signed into law by the governor September 17th, is to take effect on December the 2nd. New American reporting that a Republican lawmaker in Florida has introduced a pro-life bill in Florida that closely mirrors that of Texas law prohibiting abortion after a heartbeat is detected. Those of you listening in Florida, it's Florida House Bill 167. Florida House Bill 167, filed by Florida State Representative Webster Barnaby. LifeNews.com also reporting that the U.S. Supreme Court has set a date for the major abortion case that could overturn Roe v. Wade. The hearing on Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health scheduled for December 1st at the Supreme Court. Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch said she is looking forward to the opportunity to convince the court that there is no constitutional right to abortion and Roe v. Wade should be overturned. Also from LifeNews.com, almost 65 members of Congress have called for an investigation into allegations that aborted babies may be being born alive and their organs harvested for scientific research through a taxpayer-funded project at the University of Pittsburgh. Quote, we are alarmed by public records obtained by the National Institutes of Health, which show that the University of Pittsburgh may have violated federal law by altering abortion procedures to harvest organs from babies who were old enough to live outside the womb. Lawmakers wrote in a letter to the Biden administration, the university is facing growing scrutiny after Judicial Watch and the Center for Medical Progress exposed evidence of babies potentially being born alive in abortions and other disturbing practices at the university. The evidence came from documents that obtained from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services through a Freedom of Information Act request, demanding an investigation after what they allege is the university researching with aborted baby body parts. From the Washington Free Beacon, the Biden administration has used the COVID relief package to give tens of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, even after the federal government determined the billion-dollar abortion provider was ineligible for the program. The Small Business Administration has given $23 million to 10 Planned Parenthood affiliates in 2021 through the Paycheck Protection Program. The agency sent those payments even though it ruled that Planned Parenthood did not qualify for the funding that was designed to aid small businesses dealing with government shutdowns and the COVID pandemic. SBA, which did not respond to requests for comment, previously had ordered the nation's top abortion provider to return $80 million in taxpayer PPP funds in 2020. From American Military News, on Tuesday, Representative Bob Gibbs of Ohio introduced three articles of impeachment against President Joe Biden, asserting that Biden is not capable of being commander-in-chief due to his handling of Afghanistan, immigration, and the struck-down federal eviction moratorium. According to Gibbs, he and the article's co-sponsors started working on the move prior to the administration's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, intending to focus primarily on Biden's border crisis and eviction moratorium. The border crisis exploded over the weekend as over 10,000 Haitian migrants illegally crossed the Rio Grande River into the U.S. from Mexico. If that isn't violating his oath of office to protect American citizens, our safety, and our welfare, I don't know what is, Gibbs said. In August, the Supreme Court shut down the eviction moratorium that was extended by the White House, despite the administration's acknowledgement that the bulk of the constitutional scholars say it's not likely to pass constitutional muster. Biden said that the extension would at least give the renters some additional time while the court addressed the issue. So he knew it was illegal, but went forth with it anyways in the courts because he knew it would bide some more time. Also in August, Biden rushed the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. Who in their right mind takes troops out before they take out American citizens and our allies, Gibbs said. He has filed three articles of impeachment against President Biden, saying he's not capable of being commander-in-chief. More to come after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the pterosaurs were flying reptiles, but were they good flyers or not?
Chris, it's hard to know because we've never seen one fly. We do see their skeletal remains, and some of them were absolutely huge. How could they have flown? A scientific study of some of their skulls has given us some clues. That portion of the brain which integrates input from the different sensory organs was large in the pterosaurs, much larger than in other creatures. This gives us the impression that the creature was a good flyer. Of course, evolutionists propose that all these functions and organs came about by natural selection. What could have given some non-flying creature this ability? A much better idea is that God created these huge creatures as a monument to his creative ability and imagination. Today, we just sit back and marvel. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day today, and we thank you for listening in. Just covering a wide variety of topics on a number of issues, and Lord willing, give you opportunity to weigh in on some of these issues or address another issue of current public affairs and public comment period. Let's take a look here at FoxNews.com. President Biden made his first address to the United Nations General Assembly. He told his international peers that, quote, they stand at an inflection point in history, calling it a decisive decade for the world in which the United States intends to lead on all of the greatest challenges of our time while maintaining his commitments to allies and partners. I'm sure that's being debated. The president began his address by saying that the world is at a moment intermingled with great pain, but extraordinary possibility, calling it a dawning of what might be a decisive decade for our world, a decade that will quite literally determine our futures. He said, we're not seeking the new Cold War or the world divided into rigid blocks. The United States is ready to work with any nation that steps up and pursues peaceful resolution to shared challenges, even if we have intense disagreements to shared challenges, because we will all suffer the consequences of our failures if we don't come together to tackle COVID-19, climate change, or threats like nuclear proliferation. The president addressed his administration's full withdrawal of U.S. military assets from Afghanistan, said America has ended 20 years of conflict in Afghanistan, and then said, as we close this period of relentless war, we're opening a new period of relentless diplomacy, renewing and defending democracy and maintaining that no matter how challenging government by and for the people is, still the best way to deliver for all of our people. The president went on to say that the U.S. has turned the page and said all the unmatched energy and resources of our nation are now squarely focused on what's ahead of us, not what is behind. He said, make no mistake, the United States will continue to defend ourselves and allies against threats, as he referred to terror threats around the world, but said the mission must be clear and achievable. United States military power must be our tool of last resort, not our first. It should not be used as an answer to every problem we see around the world. He said, noting that many of our greatest concerns, pointing to COVID-19 and climate change, cannot be solved by arms. The Daily Wire telling us that the White House press pool has filed a formal complaint against Joe Biden for refusing to answer questions from American media about the multiple crises that have erupted under his regime. The complaint came as Biden met with the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. They were in the Oval Office, and Biden angered the British with his disastrous pullout from Afghanistan. President Biden and British Prime Minister Johnson were meeting to discuss the pandemic, trade, and other issues, and CBS News reporter Ed O'Keefe tweeted, Johnson took three questions. White House aides shouted down U.S. attempts to ask questions. I asked Biden about southern border, and we couldn't decipher what he said. Well, White House Correspondents Association President Steve Portnoy said in a statement that he filed a formal complaint over the incident to White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. We'll see how far that one goes. FoxNews.com, President Biden may have improperly avoided paying Medicare taxes before he took office and could owe the IRS up to $500,000, according to a Congressional Research Service report. Joe Biden wants to raise taxes by $2.1 trillion while claiming the rich need to pay their fair share. But in 2017, multimillionaire Joe Biden skirted his payroll taxes, the very taxes that fund Medicare and Obamacare, said Representative Jim Banks, who chairs the Conservative Republican Study Committee. Banks said that the report indicated that Biden improperly used S corporations while he and the First Lady Jill Biden raked in over $13 million on speaking fees and book sales in 2017 and 2018, but counted less than $800,000 of it as a salary that could be taxed for Medicare. Western Journal reporting that Senate Democrats who hope to use their $3.5 trillion grab bag of spending projects to dole out 8 million green cards to illegal aliens were handed a major defeat Sunday. Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonnell, the nonpartisan arbiter of the body's rules, declared that Democrats want to use the budget reconciliation process to ram the proposal home with zero Republican support, could not do so. The policy changes of this proposal far outweigh the budgetary impact scored to it, and it's not appropriate for inclusion in reconciliation, she said. She called the Democrats' plan by any standard a broad new immigration policy, according to The Hill. We're going to the Daily Wire here. Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council, told Fox News during an interview on Thursday night that if President Joe Biden were not president, he would arrest Biden for aiding and abetting. He said, I've been patrolling the border since Clinton was the president, and I can tell you personally that the policies that have been in place were by far the best under President Trump, and President Biden completely and totally dismantled all of those policies. He said if he weren't president, I'd arrest him for aiding and abetting. Jihad Watch reporting a group of left lawmakers, far left, including AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, forced House Democratic leadership Tuesday to cut $1 billion for Israel's Iron Dome from a short-term government funding bill. The removal of the language from a continuing resolution that would keep the federal lights on through in early December prompted an urgent call from Israeli Foreign Minister to the House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer. The Foreign Minister then tweeted that Hoyer had reassured him that the cut was a, quote, technical postponement and that aid would be transferred soon. Representative Rosa DeLauro, the chair of the House Appropriations Committee, had told reporters earlier Tuesday that the Iron Dome funding would be added to the annual defense funding spending bill, but later opted to support it as a standalone measure. Jihad Watch reporting that President Biden said that he backs the two-state solution for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, stating that the best way to ensure the future of Israel as a Jewish state was for a, quote, two-state solution. BuzzFeed News is reporting that federal prosecutors on Tuesday released a new collection of Capitol surveillance videos from January 6 after a judge ordered them to do so, rejecting the government's argument that making the clips public could threaten the security of the complex. The disclosure marks a setback for the U.S. Capitol Police and the U.S. Attorney's Office in their efforts to control how much footage from the Capitol's closed-circuit video system gets out. In the latest case, prosecutors argue that revealing the location and vantage points of more cameras would help bad actors trying to plan some future assault on the building. A judge concluded that argument was too speculative, however, and that the public had a strong interest in seeing the videos that formed the basis for the recent plea deal. John and Andy Schlafly write that after publishing articles that wrongly disparaged anyone who suggested that COVID-19 might be a man-made virus from China, the liberal British medical journal Lancet makes a U-turn by publishing a new article harshly criticizing its prior ones. Closing off the inquiry into a man-made origin was wrong. Some unusual features of the SARS-CoV-2 genome sequence suggest that they may have resulted from genetic engineering, the new article by 16 scientists says. No pathway from bats to humans, nor any plausible geographic connection between wildlife and infected humans has been identified, they note. More than 80,000 samples collected from Chinese wildlife sites and animal farms all prove negative, the newly published article explains. Ladies and gentlemen, that means another victory lap for Donald Trump. Dr. Anthony Fauci falsely insisted in May of last year that the evidence is, quote, very, very strongly leaning toward this could have not been artificially or deliberately manipulated. There is no credible evidence supporting Fauci's statement, as the esteemed scientists demonstrate in their recent article in Lancet. Fauci should be compelled to explain the basis for his statements against a man-made origin for COVID-19, which remains an enormously important medical, historical, and political issue, write the Schlafly's. Breitbart's reporting that Scott Gottlieb, the former commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, that is, admitted during an interview on Face the Nation that the six-foot social distancing rule that was recommended by public health officials for months on end was actually arbitrary in and of itself. And he noted that nobody knows where it came from, saying, quote, my view is that they were sold on the idea that you weren't going to be able to really affect the spread and that anything you did was just going to have so many repercussions in terms of impact on children who might not be in school. So the single reason why most schools remained shut was because the CDC was telling them that they had to keep kids 6 feet apart, he said. If the CDC had said you can that you can only have kids 3 feet apart, then a lot of schools would have been able to stay open. And in fact, when the Biden administration wanted to open schools in the spring, this past spring, they got the CDC to change that guidance from 6 feet to 3 feet. Gottlieb continued, admitting that the original guidance was arbitrary and had unknown origins. The 6 feet was arbitrary in and of itself. Nobody knows where it came from, he said. The initial recommendation that the CDC brought to the White House, and I talk about that, was 10 feet. And political appointee in the White House said, we can't recommend 10 feet. Nobody can measure 10 feet. It's inoperable. Society will shut down. So the compromise was around 6 feet. But folks, they says they had no, it was just arbitrary. Nobody knows where it came from, they said, the 6 foot rule. National Review reporting on August 24th, Oregon Governor Kate Brown instituted a state masking requirement that requires everyone 5 years and older, regardless of vaccination status, to wear a mask, face covering, or face shield in outdoor spaces if they are less than 6 feet apart from individuals not in their household. Cases and hospitalizations are now at a record high, said Governor Brown. Masks are a quick and simple tool that we can immediately deploy to protect ourselves and our families and quickly help stop further spread of COVID-19. Well, on August 24th, Oregon had 49,889 active cases of COVID-19. As of September 21, Oregon had 86,623 active cases of COVID-19, an increase of some 73% from the day that the governor announced the outdoor mask mandate. I'll let you draw your own conclusions on that. Western Journal reporting that the San Francisco mayor, London Breed, being slammed by supporters and critics alike after she was caught on camera singing and dancing at a jazz club with no mask on in defiance of her own city mask ordinance. To make matters worse, she's hotly defending herself, and by doing so, further underscoring not only her own hypocrisy, but also the absurdity of her city's extreme mask mandates. Here's what she said, quote, "My drink was sitting at the table. I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit, and I wasn't thinking about a mask." She said, "I was thinking about having a good time, and in the process, I was following the health orders." San Francisco Mayor, that was not the case. How do you follow your mask orders when your drink is sitting at the table and you're up and you're dancing around? Something's wrong there. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to share a few more stories with you on the broadcast, and then we'll be opening some phone lines here today. Several matters that are going on will certainly give you opportunity to weigh in on matters here today as well. So stay with us. And again, just a reminder, if you miss a Crosstalk program, you can get it as a podcast. You'll find programs at crosstalkamerica.com. You can go to vcyamerica.org, click on Crosstalk, and you'll see ways there that you can get Crosstalk as a podcast. Where you can listen at your own convenience. But again, take time to let your local station know how much you appreciate the broadcast. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Is it okay to abort a baby? People give many reasons why abortion is an acceptable choice. The inconvenience of pregnancy. Infant disabilities. It's the woman's body. It's not a baby. This is a result of rape or incest. Incompetence of parents. And she's not ready to be a parent. In the DVD, 7 Reasons, Ray Comfort addresses these 7 questions, reasoning with college students and people on the street about whether such objections are justified. You will see those who are ardently pro-choice change their mind in moments. This powerful 42-minute DVD, 7 Reasons, is available for a donation of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 7 Reasons.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America. News Roundup Day here today in the broadcast, and we're going to continue with a few more stories here today, talking about the COVID shot. This very interesting story that came here today from U.S. News, and that is, the Epoch Times, reporting on U.S. News, staff shortages have now forced two large Michigan hospital systems to cut hundreds of beds. The action comes as a fourth wave of the COVID virus, the pathogen that causes COVID-19, has caused hospitals to be swamped with patients. The Detroit-based Henry Ford Health Systems announced September 13th it was cutting 120 beds from five of its eight hospitals due to a lack of nurses and other staff members to service them. 2 days later, Beaumont Health Systems announced it was temporarily closing 180 beds for lack of staffing. Henry Ford Health and Beaumont Health, along with most of Michigan's hospital chains, had implemented requirements earlier this year for all of their employees to be vaccinated against the CCP virus. Those who refused to do so face suspension, firing, or resignation for refusing the shot. Henry Ford Health System has not disclosed, though, the number of employees it has lost due to non-compliance with their mandate. They're saying that staffing is stressed to a level we have not seen previously. There's a number of healthcare workers that said, I'm sorry, we're not going to take the shot. Some believe that because they've had COVID, that their immunity is greater than what any shot can provide them, and tests have borne that out. Others have said, I'm not going to be putting this foreign substance into my body. That's experimental. And so hospitals are threatening to close, over here, they're shutting down beds, 180 beds in one hospital, 120 in another. NewAmerican.com, four branches of the U.S. Armed Forces have announced COVID vaccination deadlines under a Pentagon mandate to jab the entire military, with the Army becoming the latest to set the date. According to a statement released by the U.S. Army Public Affairs Tuesday, 485,900 active duty servicemen are expected to be fully vaccinated by December 15th. And 189,800 reserve members and 336,000 of those who serve in the National Guard should get the shot by June 30th, 2022. Commenting on the decision, Lieutenant General R. Scott Dingell, the U.S. Army Surgeon General, said this, quote, "This is quite literally a matter of life and death for our soldiers, their families, and the communities in which we live. Case counts and deaths continue to be concerning as the Delta variant spreads, which makes protecting the force through mandatory vaccination a health and readiness priority for the local Army." According to the Pentagon's most recent reported data, as of September 8th, some 414,780, or about 41% of active duty reserve and guard troops, were fully vaccinated, with another 191,988 partially vaccinated. We understand some reports are indicating that they are stepping up those dates and many already implementing the forced vaccination. Family Research Council, an article here by Tony Perkins, indicates that trapped in the sinkhole of left-wing radicalism, our troops are so busy fighting climate change, white supremacy, conservative extremism, and COVID to deal with America's real enemies. Now, as if the embarrassment of Afghanistan, a feeble commander-in-chief, and their top brass betrayals weren't enough, the president says he's ready to fire anyone who won't get the vaccine. It doesn't matter whether they have natural immunity or not, Fox News' Tucker Carlson pointed out, or whether they have deeply held moral or religious objections. This is about power. The point was to bow before his authority and the authority of the Democratic Party, no excuses or exceptions, end of quote. What's the scientific justification, he asked, quote, well, of course, there isn't any. The fighting strength of the military is young, healthy people, virtually all of them, at extremely low risk of dying from COVID. Believe it or not, he argues, three times as many troops have died of suicide over the last year and a half than from the virus. So this is really about public health, or a more sinister agenda, the question is asked. Can America really afford to lose hundreds, if not thousands, of dedicated, experienced service members in a dangerous global climate like this one, and over a mandate that's almost certain to be found unconstitutional at the highest courts? The simple is no. Answer is no. But if the motivation is to cleanse the military of conservative men and women of faith, then it makes sense. Carlson said, frankly, there is a takeover of the U.S. military that is going on. He said, blinded by their anti-religious dogma, the left fails to see that their line of reasoning, or lack thereof, exposes their motives. If the vaccine protects you from the virus, then the only ones who are unprotected or at risk are the unvaccinated. How are the unvaccinated harming the vaccinated public? They aren't, unless, of course, the vaccine doesn't really provide the protection that they claim. WND.com, Los Angeles Police Department apparently has solved how to handle those pesky Christians and others who keep insisting on a religious exemption to mandates for COVID-19 vaccines. Simply put, they don't have a process to request the exemption. Lawyer Daniel Watkins has filed a lawsuit on behalf of multiple workers at the Los Angeles Police Department seeking to bar the city from depriving them of their rights to seek religious accommodations. Watkins and the Pacific Justice Institute brought the action in response to the city's imposition of a September 7th deadline for employees, including workers, volunteers, interns, 100-day retired employees, and others to submit religious accommodation requests and comply with mask requirements, physical distancing, weekly COVID-19 testing, and vaccine training. And, folks, what's interesting is that they have a religious exemption, but no plan in place to do it. And Pacific Justice Institute stepping out to defend them. He said the action shamed the individuals seeking to protect the religious faith and cheated them out of their rights by their own department. We've asked the court to require the city to respect and immediately accommodate employees who have sincerely held religious beliefs. LifeSiteNews.com has a story. An Alabama man whose doctor dismissed pleas that he be given ivermectin died just 9 days after being admitted to a hospital with COVID-19. Todd Abbott died Friday, 43 years old, at UAB Medical Center West in Bessemer, Alabama. Doctors refused to honor several appeals by his wife to have ivermectin administered to him. Abbott is a father of two teenage daughters, later transferred to intensive care, put under sedation while on a ventilator. Tragically, the man's condition worsened as his kidneys shut down, fluid built up in his lungs, and a blood clot developed in his legs. Melissa Abbott, Todd's wife of 19 years, now left to pick up the pieces after losing her husband in such devastating circumstances. An intensive care specialist and member of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance last month said ivermectin was the drug that could end the pandemic. This is Dr. Pierre Corey. We've aired a clip from him previous. He told News Talk on August 13, quote, "There's just a mountain of evidence supporting its use, and it's being used effectively in many portions of the world. But there's a lot of resistance to ivermectin." He said, in fact, there is a very strong and deep opposition in public health agencies in the ivory towers, and that there is something I've had to become an expert on. From FaithWire, the University Hospital in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is no longer requiring its employees to get vaccinated. It's an about-face from the position that they held just a month ago. Officials at the University of Alabama said they are reversing the policy as they await details from the federal government following President Joe Biden's edict mandating all employees with more than 100 staff members to require inoculation against the coronavirus. Defending the decision, Alabama Hospital Association President Dr. Ron Williamson said that most hospitals in the region are not requiring the shots right now, noting the UAB Center was one of the few to mandate the vaccine. You see, the president speaks the words. There's no mandate that's gone out. But many hospitals and public health officials and businesses are scrambling to accommodate that which he said he's going to be doing. New American says that, forget about the rapists, robbers, and human smugglers President Biden brought into the U.S., with 118,000 other post-war Afghan evacuees. More frightening is the chance that the Afghans will unleash an epidemic of disease once thought all but wiped out. In an emergency preparedness and response released and published Monday, the CDC warned that doctors must prepare for a wave of mumps, measles, and worse, since polio, already 20 people arriving from Afghanistan and being diagnosed with mumps or measles. Coming soon to a school or restaurant near you, a possible fatal infectious disease that blows up into a contagion. Continuing to watch all of this take place. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or another current event story, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Western Journal reporting that critics of the Biden administration charged that the process was moving too fast and too disorganized to properly vet all of the Afghans being evacuated. The White House, however, insisted that vetting was done thoroughly The Justice Department announced the unrelated indictments in a news release on Wednesday. We've got Barola Nouri, 20 years old, has been charged with attempting to engage in a sexual act with a minor using force and three counts of engaging in a sexual act with a minor, with one count alleging the use of force. The indictment said the victims were not even yet 16 years. This is two Afghan refugees brought to the U.S. have just been charged with sex crimes and domestic abuse. And then there's also Mohammed Haroon Imad, faces charges of assaulting his spouse by strangling and suffocating her in a September 7th incident. They could face stiff penalties if convicted. Nouri could face a mandatory minimum penalty of 30 years, a maximum of life in federal prison on charges claiming he used force against his victim, and a maximum penalty of 15 years on the other two charges. The other could face a 10-year prison term. Let's go to the phone lines here today. And Crosstalk, we're going to begin with Barry calling from South Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I find it kind of ironic that Apple, the same company that is now willing to send their employees out of state to have abortions, is also a company that will pay their people who are pregnant for maternity leave. You know, on one hand, they support life by letting the women leave the workplace and raise their children and get paid. And on the other hand, they support sending them out of state to kill their babies.
Yeah. How you know, that's full of hypocrisy. Thank you, Barry. Right. Appreciate the call. Zach from River Falls, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, people shouldn't have to fill out medical or religious exemptions, for the Declaration of Independence is already an exemption. And for people have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For when a government becomes too destructive, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it for safety and happiness.
Hmm. Thank you, Zach. We've got Jim in Brookfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi there. Medical associations across the country are against this mandate. Every medical association is against this mandate. And the problem that the medical associations are having are places like Facebook, where they had thousands of people on Facebook. They would have people planning rallies have all been shut down, and they're not being able to be viewed mm-hmm. and talked to mm-hmm. and talked about. And on Facebook, before they were shut down, they were releasing trial after trial of ivermectin. And ivermectin is the key, and the other things like that to allow the zinc into the cells to stagnate the ability for that virus to be able to multiply.
You know, and this is where Dr. Pierre Corey, who was with St. Luke's Aurora, I believe at that time, as he went, he pled before the, I believe it was either House or Senate committee, saying,
yep.
You've got to
yep.
study this ivermectin. He said they were having tremendous success with it, and yet there's been a total shutdown, as you mentioned, through social media and through other groups. Even the president is stopping some of the shipments that are going into states like Florida for it.
Well, while we say this, at the exact same time, there's places like India that are giving it to their
yes.
whole state.
Yep.
And it's completely successful.
Thank you. I'm up against a break. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Very few Americans are aware of the fact that the Biden administration has just pulled Patriot missiles out of Saudi Arabia. I've seen the before and after pictures. The missiles are gone. Why is this important? Because when Nixon closed the gold window in 1971, why'd they close the gold window, first off? So they could print all the money they wanted. They were already printing money. But after they closed the gold window, it went nuts. And they were able to expand the size of government and redistribute the wealth. So our American dollar was backed by nothing. He goes to Saudi Arabia and he says, look, trade on the world market with oil for the U.S. dollar, and we will protect you. We will protect you if you're invaded. And so that is how the petrodollar was born. If we get rid of the U.S. petrodollar as world reserve currency and those dollars come flooding back to our shores, you ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to inflation is what you'll see. Now Russia's moving in to protect Saudi Arabia. They hate the American dollar and they hate America. Keep your eyes open.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Here we have from CBS 46 out of Atlanta. Atlanta City Council has taken a step to offer better support to the LGBT community. Monday, the council unanimously voted to pass an ordinance that would require LGBTQ cultural humility training to all elected officials and employees of the City of Atlanta, full-time, part-time, and contract workers. Online training will be required on an annual basis, managed by the city's Human Resources Department. All employees will learn about the history of the LGBTQ community, definitions of identities, and understanding of various cultural differences. And in the UK, ladies and gentlemen, there had been a ruling that children under the age of 16 considering gender reassignment surgery would not be mature enough to give informed consent to be prescribed puberty-blocking drugs. Well, the Guardian indicating here that the court has overruled that and allows for children, underage children, to make such decisions. Under the age of 16, the high court judges, it also said doctors of teens under 18 may need to consult the courts for authorization for medical intervention as a result of the decisions. They suspended new referrals for puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for under 16. Well, interesting there, the overturn the UK puberty blockers ruling for under 16s. Let's go to Inglewood, Florida. We have Christopher. You're on the air. Hello, Christopher.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I'm still on a concern of abortion. I don't get how nobody's bringing up the fact that it's not forced pregnancy. A woman and a man must decide to engage in the act of fornication.
Hello, Christopher. Christopher's got a bad connection there. Kevin in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, are the people, is there a report saying that the people who are in jails and prisons, are they forced to take the jab?
Are they forced? That's a good question. I think it's varied state by state. I know the jabs have gone through many facilities. I don't know. I can say universally that it's been required, Kevin.
Okay, where can I get the information?
Well, it's just start doing some web searches on that topic, and you may be able to find that there. Thank you for the call. Monroe, Wisconsin, Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I'm getting so overwhelmed with all this fear-mongering. You know, they keep concentrating on COVID, but, and my husband has been told about having to take the shot or he can't work. And I know people personally that have died and gotten really sick or bad side effects. And how can the government keep doing that? They're not doctors, and this is not a safe shot.
That's a question many are asking here, Kathy, is in regard to it. It is still experimental. The brand name that they have authorized, there's not even shots available with that, or very limited shots, but most people are receiving as the required shot that which is under the emergency use authorization.
And my doctor, I just seen him yesterday, and he said he's not allowed to give a hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and that. So, I mean, you'd think that if they're really concerned about people's lives, they would use every means, and they treat other flus and Ebola and all that stuff with medicine.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something just very demonic happening here.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Jason next in Dodgeville. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm sorry. I just kind of needed someone to vent to, I think. My oldest boy just went to his annual training. He was diverted from the place they were supposed to go in Indiana because they're filling up with refugees now. So we went to Fort Riley, Kansas. Being unvaccinated, he's not allowed to use the PX. They are living in a tent, a large tent with 500 people. It's a 500-man tent, and it's full. There was a captain that moved in next to him and set up a tent inside of the tent and made him move so he had the space to set up his little tent inside a tent.
Hmm.
Then, today, my son and the whole football team here was sent home because a vaccinated child tested positive once for the COVID. And they canceled tonight's game, of course. And, you know, no word yet on what happens when he retests and they find out that it was a false positive.
So basically being kept in this tent and and special restrictions because of not having the shot.
Exactly.
Okay. And has he been told about a time when he's going to be forced to have the shot?
No. All I can go by is what they say is December 15th for active duty and June 30th of 2022, which at least hopefully gives us time to have it declared unconstitutional to force the jab.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for the call. Let's go to James in Toma, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to point out, first and foremost, it's illegal to mandate an EUA shot.
Yep.
And as you said, that they don't have non-EUA shots available. So these mandates, you need to seek an attorney. I'm not sure what help they can be. But also, in order to have the EUA, there must not be an alternative safe, effective treatment. And that, not science, is why they're fighting ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and all of these. And profit to investors such as Bill Gates, George Soros, all the big tech oligarchs, their profit is why they're promoting remdesivir and the designer drugs that are out there. And if you don't believe me, how scientific is it to restrict monoclonal antibodies from states that just happen to be Republican-led? Yeah. How scientific is that?
Yep, good question, James. Thank you for the call. Here on South Dakota, Diane, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to talk about abortion. In my mind, it's become such an outdated, unnecessary procedure. You know, they have the morning after pills, and I'm not condoning this at all. But I can't see any reason to be continuing to have abortion and killing these children unless what they're after is the baby body parts.
Oh, baby body parts is part of it, too. But even so many of the chemicals that are taken as far as like a morning after pill also is that which keeps a fertilized embryo from implanting in the mother's womb and thereby kills it. And thus you have abortion there as well. We have run out of time on the broadcast today, and I wish we had more. By the way, a great good news story here out of Tennessee, where we have a Tennessee high school football team that had a school board meeting. Teachers and coaches could no longer lead students in prayer, but parents and students took to the field themselves. Putnam County Schools got involved in leading that prayer after the game. Take a stand where you are. Be salt and be light. And friends, by the way, it's Friday. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church this coming Lord's Day. God bless you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.